So this week is Parshas Re'e. I hear some. So the pasuk says.
Okay, I'm gonna go on mute.
Yeah, me too.
Capital Yud Beis. Leisasin kein laHashem elokeichem. You shall not do so to Hashem your God. Leisasin kein laHashem elokeichem. So, it's interesting. The Kotzke says, "Loisas and ken l'Hashem elokeichem, for Hashem is burachs wegen, tit men nicht azoi." It's actually printed in Yiddish in the Eil Torah. For God's sake, don't do so. And then explains, "Shleitasa mitzvos kiderech hanushim elimudo." Don't do mitzvahs just as a habit. There has to be hachuna. There has to be preparation before you do the mitzvah. So, loisasin kein, don't do so, means don't do the mitzvah because it's so. And there's another Kotzkevart in Pashas Ves Chanon. He says there, the Torah says, Moshe says, Hishamru lechem pentishkach es bris Hashem elokeichem. Be very careful in case you forget the covenant of God, Ashakur Simachem, that God made with you. Basisem lechem pesel, and you'll make yourselves a graven image. Tumunas koil ashitzivcha Hashem nekecho, an image of anything that God commanded you. So Rashi sees the question, because it should say, don't make an image, or be very careful lest you make an image of anything God prohibited. Hashesone Hashem elekecho. Right? Not Hashetzivcha Hashem elekecho. Not God commanded you. God commanded you not to. So Rashi says, Hashetzivcha sheloi lasa. That God commanded you not to make. But the Kotzke says, Ikechosim ena sefer. You know, most of the meaning of that pasuk is lost in that final phrase. Be very careful lest you forget the covenant and you make something, a pesel, a graven image, a tumuna, picture of something that God commanded you. So the Kotzke has a very good mind. He says, you can make a graven image out of the commandments. If you do a mitzvah because that's how you do things, that's not a mitzvah. A mitzvah is that you do what God commanded you. If you're doing it because this is how your father did it, or your mother did it, or this is how other people do it, that's a pesel, that's a graven image of a mitzvah. It's not mitzvah. A mitzvah is, in the purest sense, when you do something because you're commanded by God to do it. And that is the kavanah that you have. Any other kavanah that you start with, it's not the mitzvah. You're doing an image of the mitzvah. A pesel. A graven image. And the Kotzke says that the reason that the pasuk uses the word pesel atuna, because we know from the Ten Commandments how disgusting it is in God's eyes when we try and make a graven image of God. Or when we take a graven image and call it God. I mean, as a Jew, that's the ultimate to'eva, right? Abomination. So the Gospel says that any mitzvah that you do that is a pesel of a mitzvah, it's a to'eva. And that's why the now the pasuk makes perfect sense. Lest you make a graven image of anything that God commanded you in the positive way. Here, that was in Parshas Veschanan. Here in Parshas Ekev, he said in Parshas Re'eh, I'm sorry, here is saying, Lo yisasun kein, for God's sake, don't do so. Here's saying that you can make yourself into a graven image. You know, if yesterday you did the mitzvah for God, you mamish did the mitzvah. Yesterday when you put on tefillin, you mamish said, Bunshtam, I'm putting on tefillin. This is the tefillin that you commanded me to put on. I'm putting it on. So I want to be Mekayim. I want to fulfill the commandment that you gave me. Put on tefillin. So this is what I'm doing. I'm strapping them on my arm. I'm going to put them on my... You know, so let's say I did yesterday, I did the mitzvah. Today I can't be bothered to have the kavanah. So today I say I'm going to do it on the basis of the kavanah that I had yesterday, right? I'm going to do it like I did yesterday. It was gavalt. The way I did yesterday was gavalt, right? So already, I'm making of myself a graven image. So the Kotzke is saying, for Hashem Yisburach Zvegen, for God's sake, tit menisht azoy. You can't do anything azoy. Oh, I did it. This is the way I did it. Oh, I did it way yesterday. This is really... So if you do it like that, it's not for God. We have been learning Ishbitz all these years. We have a whole other pshat. We were learning Parshas B'ha'aloisecha. Me'er Shiloich in the second chelik, it says, Al pi Hashem Yachanu, Al pi Hashem Yisoh, that the Jewish people, they camped by the command of God, by the mouth of God. And when it came to traveling, they broke camp and they moved Al Pi Hashem, the mouth of God, the command. Es Mishmeres Hashem Shemoro, and they guarded the watches of God. Al Pi Hashem had the mouth of God Biyad Moshe. So the Ishbitz knows, because really, what's the Biyad Moshe here? Why did they need Biyad Moshe? Everybody could see when the cloud lifted, it was time to move. So the Ishbitz says, not so simple. Histalkus ha'onon, u'shechinosoi, the fact that the cloud of glory started to move, it only actually could be visible to Moshe. That we didn't see when it was time to move. And he says, in every generation, the tzaddik, he's the one who sees when it's time to move. He sees when the Shekhinah has moved, has left a place, and it's time for us to move on. So yes, it's Al Pi Hashem. And yes, theoretically, anybody could see that the cloud had left the tabernacle. But ultimately, it ended up being Biyad Moshe because he was the tzaddik, and it's always the tzaddik who's sensitive to when the Shekhinah has left place. As it says, and he brings the pasuk, Sifsei tzaddik yedu un rotzein. The lips of the tzaddik, they know the desire. Meaning, they know what the will of God is. And then he says, the Yid HaKodesh, the holy Yid of Pshischa, in his generation, he was the one with the eyes. See, he saw the Rotzen of Hashem Yisborach, he saw the will of God that it's time to stop looking at the clock when it comes to davening. And everybody knows that the Yid HaKodesh used to daven not according to what the clock said. And he relied, says the Ishbitz, on the Posuk in this week's Sedra, Loisasen Kain Lashem Lekech. Kain, he says, the Ishbitz says, the Holy Yid said, you don't do so for God. Loisasen Kain. Because Kain, so, it hints at something that's fixed. B'li Chayim, it doesn't have life in it. It's fixed. And that's the Inyan of Alehem Aseicho, that when you make a take something that's molten, liquid metal, could take any shape. But then once it's cooled into one shape, that's it. It becomes rigid, brittle. So mitzvahs can also become like that. They can become fixed, rigid, and brittle. So when the Holy Yid saw that God doesn't, well, that's not where God is anymore. And if you ask, you know, because I see it a lot, you know, I see there are actually tzaddikim who have a big clock next to their shtendel in shul. No, in the ancient times, there were no clocks, right? So you're approximating the time. Doesn't matter if it says in Shulchan Aruch it's 13 minutes or 18 minutes or how many minutes is the Shia Mil. Sof Kol Sof, you didn't have a watch. It was, you were working with some inner timer. But now we've become, everybody has a clock, a watch, this, these timers. You see in Shul, they have these timers that set with these atomic clocks that sets itself according to some satellite that's... And then the Ishbit says, V'nishmosei me'ira began Eden mizeh. His neshama is shining, the Yid HaKodesh neshama is shining Gan Eden, just from this, kiven lo'irotz neshama. Because really, the Yid HaKodesh, the Heilige Yid, he was mamish mechaven in this insight. He restored the Shekhinah and prayer. Because already everybody was into the halach of the time of davening and missed the point that he's not here anymore. He moved. So he says, Va'af, and even though Kiyochel Zois B'shina Zan Hazmanim Nishtano, it's possible that maybe in the future someplace, it will become important again to daven by the clock, maybe. Could be. The Yid HaKodesh is not saying that his innovation is permanent. So, I think it's very interesting that there are two shischa ways of understanding the Yid. And so far as I know, the Heilige Ishbitzer wasn't there by the Yid. So if he knows this, he can only know it from his Rebbe, the Rebbe Rabbinim. I think that the Kotzker was there. And we know how it was by the Yid when he was davening. What was the preparation? The Yid HaKodesh used to sit there in his room with the Talmidim. Talmidim, all the Polish Rebs that were Pshischa Chassidim, right? So it's called Vurka, Binim, Mendele the Kotzke, Mendele Tomashov, as he was known, and Alexander Rebbe and others. So he would be sitting, I don't know, they would be meditating or listening or learning, or he would be saying Torah or whatever, and Er is geworden vertracht. He would get thoughtful. And then he would become terrified. The Yid would become terrified, his hair would stand up on his head, and his pious and his beard would stick out in terror, you know, like his hair would stand on end. And when his yarmulke would lift up off his head and be standing rigid on the top of his hair, that's when it was time to daven. But by then, of course, he was no longer seeing them. Everybody would quietly withdraw from the room, and the Yid HaKodesh would daven. So, really, he was waiting to feel it's time to daven. And when it was time to daven, he went into this awareness of the presence of the Shekhinah. Pachad Yitzchak. And it was time to daven. So now, the Kotzke and the Ishbitzer are arguing, what's the essential lesson? The Kotzke is saying that every time the Heilige Yid, before he davened, he made the Hachona. That he never davened on the basis of knowing when it was to daven yesterday. That every day he davened when he felt that he had prepared himself. That's Loisas and Kain means, for God's sake, you don't do azoi like this. No, you have to make a hachona, you have to make your preparation. But Ishbitzer says that's not really what was going on. That the Ishbitzer says, and this is it must be from the Rebbe Rabbeinu, that the Yid HaKodesh is being much more radical. He's saying that the mitzvah itself no longer is what it was. Zman Tefillah no longer is what it was. That's not where the halacha is. It's finished. The halacha is gone. How? He knows. The Yid HaKodesh knew that that halacha doesn't exist anymore. In Kotzke, they're not ready to do away with the halacha, right? They're saying, you personally, you have to know when it's time for you to daven. And Pshischa, they're saying, that's not what the Rebbe meant. It's a big difference. So where does it come from? You know, this week, in the Degel Machna Ephraim, the whole Degel Machna Ephraim is really a riff on one thing. What does it mean, Lishma? Where it says, Loimed Torah Lishma, somebody learns Torah for the Eibishter's Wegen, for God's sake. Zoiche Ledvorim Harbe, merits many things, v'naseh k'ma'ayon ha'mizgaber, and becomes like a wellspring of Torah. This week on the Degel Machna Ephraim, like from the beginning to the end, just a riff on this, are some unbelievable Torahs. Mamash can make a person like, want to go back to the beginning. What did it mean to be a Baal Shem Tov Zchusit? See, we were learning, what was it? What was the greatness of the Yid? I think I mentioned that Avram Avinu was the Mechadish. He was the genius innovator, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mefarish. Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and explains what Avram Avinu meant. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was the Mechadish. Along comes the Ari And he's the Mefarish. He explains what Reb Shimon bar Yochai meant. The Baal Shem Tov was the Mechadish. Baal Shem Tov is an unbelievable genius. The Mefarish, who's explaining what he meant? The Yid. The Yid HaKodesh is the explainer. So, you know, everybody thinks the main message of the Baal Shem Tov is that you don't have to be a rabbi to be a Yid. People assume, I mean, you hear this a lot, right? What was the Baal Shem Tov's message? That you could be a cobbler, you could be making shoes, but if you have the right kavana, then your shoes are holy. They're like the person could be learning in a Beis HaMedrash and not have the right kavana. But you know, whatever you do, if you do with God in mind, and you do it honestly, why are you making the shoes? You're thinking to yourself, you know, this is going to be value for money. The person buying the shoes is going to get value because I'm going to do a good job. And I'm going to be able to do what they paid me for. That's the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, that's honorable, that there's something holy. But that's an inverted way of looking at it. Really, what's the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov? The Torah of the Baal Shem Tov is that there's no difference between learning Torah and davening, worship. If learning Torah is not an act of worship, it's gunish vert. It's worthless. And if your worship is not learning Torah, it's gunish vert. It's worthless. There's no difference between Torah and Tefillah. That's the essential teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. When you're davening, you're learning Torah. And when you're learning Torah, you're davening. That's the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov. This week, in the Dago, he starts on the Pusik Re'eh. How did the Pusik go? I'm putting before you today brucha klola, blessing and curse. Es habrucha, the blessing, ashitishmu al mitzvahs Hashem lekechem, that you listen to the commandments of God, ashanoichim tzaves hamhayim, I'm commanding you today. Vaha klola. And the curse, im lo yisishmu el mitzvus Hashem lekechem, if you don't listen to the mitzvahs. You know, there's an extra S here. Re'ei anoichi noisen nifneichem ha'ayim brocha klolo. Look, S ha'brocha, and then the next pasuk is v'ha'klolo. Could have said ha'brocha, v'ha'klolo, or S ha'brocha, v'es ha'klolo. So, the Daigle says like this. Anoichi, re'ei anoichi. You have to see the anoichi. What is anoichi? Anoichi means the kisei, the dwelling place of God. Anoichi and kisei have the same gematria. What does the Gemara say? God says, Anoichi, I wrote myself. Ano nafshoi, I, myself, my nefesh. Kesovis, I wrote it down, Yehivas, and I gave it to you. You know, God is giving us himself. How? In the Torah. So God, so to speak, writes himself into the Torah, and gives himself to us, and then we have to take it, right? So in a sense, God's given away his soul, right? Ano nafshoi Kosovis here. I wrote it down. You know, like those people used to believe that if you take a photograph of somebody, it takes away a little bit their soul, right? Dagger, you see people who have, everybody wants to take photographs of them, they take people with very thin souls, right? Bonishim says, I wrote myself down, I gave myself away. Anoich. So the Dagel says, I've told you already many times, it's true. It says many times in the Dagel. When you learn Torah Lishma, you put chayis. What does it mean to learn Torah Lishma, right? You put something of yourself into what you're learning. What do you put? You put your ruach and you put your neshama into the learning. So God puts his nefesh and you put the ruach and neshama. So then the Torah becomes living. You're putting the chayis in it, right? Nefesh is just really the lowest form of life, right? Then you have to put ruach and neshama. So you have to put yourself into the Torah. That's the meaning of lishma. And then you mashiv nefesh, the Dagel says. You mamish, you give God back his life. Because God is the Torah. Your mamish being mechaya, the Rabbeinu Shalom. Says, and when you do that, you don't just give life to the Torah that you're learning, you give life to the world. When you connect with the Torah and put your life, put your chayas, put your riach and your neshama into it, you learn it with Hamachaya, you mamish give God life. Because God put himself in the Torah. If it's just dead Torah, then mamish, just think what that means to God. And then it flows from the Torah to the whole world, to all the worlds. And if a person doesn't, then mamish, like the Torah becomes poisonous, samovis, instead of samchayim. So that's the meaning of the pasuk that says, Re'ei, look, anoichi noisin lifneichem. Look, it's anoichi that's being put in front of you today. Es habrocha, he says, that's the aleph to the tof of the brocha, the oisiois, the 22 letters of the Torah. You have to give them life, otherwise they're nothing. And how do you give them life? If you're learning b'dechila rechima, if you're learning Torah with love and with respect, with awe, with fear, then you put life force into those letters. It becomes a brocha. The haklola. There's no S there. There's no aleph to tov. There's no 22 letters living there. So memela, it becomes klola, it becomes samamavis. So how do you know if you're learning Torah Lishma, right? You know, in the 12-step program, one of the things that they talk about is geographic relocation. That when somebody's, using on the last legs, mamish, they can't go on much longer, like they're drinking like a fish, whatever it is that they're doing, they do geographic relocation. Think to himself, oh, it's so bad here. I'm gonna move somewhere else. Here I've got bad mazel, you know. I'll go somewhere else and I'll start over, right? So geographic relocation is like one of the symptoms of the end, when somebody comes to the end of their ability to control their using of whatever, and they start to go different places. And then when a person gets into recovery and they they stop moving around. The Rebbe Ephraim, here, listen what the Dago Machan Ephraim says. He says, you find people, they're people like, you know, they have such a tava to be somewhere else. They're like, they can't settle. No, I need to be, I'm going to go somewhere else. I need to be in another place. For sure, certain parts, there's going to be different. It's positive. Somewhere else going to be better, right? Where does this come from? He says, inside us all is this God-shaped hole. He says, "Shebe'emes hakel chafetzim liyiru shemoy hanichbad v'hanoyru, v'kol neshoma misave letakim b'zehu oilam." Every neshoma wants to fix in this world what it needs to fix. It's an unbelievable tava. It's an unstoppable, unquenchable desire to do what you have to do, to connect to what you have to connect, to fix what you have to fix. And if you're not fixing what you have to fix, then you feel like this emptiness. And it doesn't know, you don't know why you're feeling empty. It's just this huge emptiness. I know I'm missing something. Something I'm missing. So what do you think? Ah, it must be where I am. There's something missing where I am. I need to go somewhere else. I'll find what it is that I'm missing. Because your neshama really wants to do what it's supposed to do, and you're not doing it, so this opens up inside this feeling of emptiness. And the more I avoid doing what I need to do, the bigger this hole gets inside, until it's unbearable. So I want to run away. I'll go somewhere where I don't feel like this, not realizing that I don't feel like this because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to doing. So then the Daigle says, but when a person starts to fix what they need to fix, then all the holy sparks and everything that a person needs to do start to fill up that hole, and then you start to feel the Shekhinah inside where you felt that emptiness. Now you feel the Shekhinah, and he says that's the meaning of Chein Mokoim Al Yoishvav. The Gemara says that the Chein of a place is on the person, right? People have the Chein of their place. They're in a beautiful place, then the people, you know, have something of the Chein of that place. The Dega Machne Ephraim says that's not the inner meaning. The inner meaning is that the chain of that place inside themselves where they've started to fix, then all the holy sparks gather there, and so that person has chain. And the Degel doesn't just explain the Pusik, he also goes into the Haftorah of this week from Yeshaya, Ani Osoyaro. And it says, V'chol bonayich limudei Hashem, all your children are students of God. He says, that's not the meaning. We know that David Amer says, Mikol melamda hiskalti, right? I learned a lot from my rebbes. I learned even more from my friends. But the most I learned from my students. See, when you learn Torah Lishma, then you're teaching God. Because Ribbono Shel Olam learns most from his students. When you're learning Torah Lishma, you become Limud Hashem, you become God's Melamed. And then, V'rav Sholoim Benoich. Because when you're learning Torah Lishma, then you're connecting with God in a way that you can't connect in any other way. Later he goes on to say, the Pusik says, when you get far from the place where you're not living next to the Mishkan anymore and you want to eat meat, Ki yarchiv Hashem elekecho es gavulcho, when your borders start to get broad. V'yomarto, and you say, oich lebosa, I want to eat meat. Ki sa v'navshichu lecho bosa, because your soul wants meat. V'chol avas navshichu teichu bosa. So the Torah tells you, yeah, you can eat as much meat as you want. You don't have to bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. You can just shecht. Because you know, while we were in 40 years in the wilderness, Busatava was not permitted. We weren't just allowed to shecht meat. You wanted to eat meat, you had to bring a carbon. So nobody ever had fleishige melava malka for 40 years in the wilderness, because the most you could eat meat is 2 days and one night. So if you shecht on Friday afternoon a carbon toide, you had Friday night and Shabbos. By Matzah Shabbos already, it was noiser. I heard that from Rebbe Avrohom Rand, the Rosh Hashiva in the Masifta. So the Degel Machne Ephraim says, Oich lebusa. What is meat? Everybody knows what meat is, right? Meat is yichud. Basar, the flesh. Flesh is zivug. Amarto oich lebusa. What is achile? Kimas alechem ashu. Oichel, Yosef says to Potiphar's wife, the bread that he eats, that's the only thing he doesn't share with me. Meaning his wife. So amarto oich lebusa. You know, there comes a time everybody wants to do the yichud. We all want to do the yichud. We want to make the yichud. Kisav enavshecho. Because your nefesh wants that. We want to fix what we have to fix. We want to do, we want to put everything back together again, in the sense of we've been learning of Torah Lishma. Meaning, I want to put life into the Torah. I want to put life into God. I want to mamash be mechaya. What does it mean to do yichud, right? I want to put the chayas. I want to put the life back into the Torah, into the Chof Beis Oisius. Oireis v'kut shebrichu chad, God and the Torah are one. Zoyche ledvorem habe. The Degel says, what does it mean? Zoyche ledvorem habe. It doesn't mean he has the zechus of many words, that somebody learns Torah Shema, but zoyche meaning zach. You clarify so many things when you're learning Torah Lishma. Everything becomes so clear. So the Degel says, "Nu, so what's the secret?" The Torah tells you, "B'chol avas nafshecho toicho bosa." You know the way. You have to find out what it is you want. What is your bosa? What is your achila? What does it mean to you? That is where you're gonna. You want to know where to make the yichud. You know, you want to know where you're gonna fix. Where you're gonna put the chayas. Where you're gonna put the life back in your learning. You have to know what it is you desire. So the Torah tells you. Tovin mimcho. You have to, you can't go to a book to learn how to fix yourself. You have to go to yourself to learn. Bechol mokoim, he says, in every place of bechol dova, in everything, shenaf shecho misave lesham, where you find that you have desire, B'chol midda umidda. Sham tasayich. That's, you don't need a better book than your own body. Will tell you what kind of yichudim and zivugim you need to be making. V'tovin mishamen. You have to understand from there. Ki ze ha-shchina mevakeshes tafkida. This is the shchina demanding, asking, begging of you. Why do you have all these desires and he doesn't have those desires? Because the Shekhinah says, I need you to make the tikkun, I need you to make the zivuk, I need you to make the yichud. In this, and how do you know what? Because these are your desires. And then, he says, you'll be at the madrega of tzaddikim, who are the shluchim, the matronis. The matron, meaning the Shekhinah, the, so to speak, feminine, in order to connect with the masculine, with the king, needs a shliach, a go-between. The tzaddik becomes the go-between. The tzaddik, meaning midas yisod. You have to connect back to the Torah. You have to put the chayis, you have to put the life force back into the Torah. How do you do that? With your cheshek, with your desire. What is that? That's your davening. If your learning is davening, I'm not learning because I want to know more. That's not the pshat. Learning because learning is my way of getting to God. My learning is my way of connecting to the divine. My learning is that way of going into that empty place in myself, which feels so empty and so hungry. Then my learning is davening. And if when I'm davening, I'm standing in shul, I can feel that empty place inside, that mamash is like a huge, big vacuum. It's the same thing. My learning, my davening is the same thing, right? Emma says that in Kotzk and Ishbitz, we're not arguing that this is the pshat. Thank you.